Hey, everybody, welcome to Matt Men, your source for all things professional wrestling. I'm Andrew Zarian. I'm joined by the Tuna Tartar, Rich Stambolian.
Ooh, yeah, baby. That's raw.
Raw, right? And acidic.
Raw. I'm raw and acidic, baby. I got a story about steak tuna tartar. I went to a very classy party years and years and years and years ago. It was like a car event.
Because you don't eat fish anymore because you're allergic, right?
Well, this was before that.
Okay.
So my buddy got into like this Mercedes event in the city, and we were just like shooting interviews and stuff like that. And I didn't realize at the time, I was in my like maybe like mid-late 20s, I didn't realize at the time that tuna tartare is raw tuna.
Yes. Oh, you didn't know.
And I ate so much that night.
Oh, my God.
And the next day I was just like, you know, I ate this stuff called tuna tartare and I feel like garbage. And then I think Vicky was like, that's raw tuna.
Yeah.
You were eating raw tuna.
Do you
all
do
night.
Sushi or no?
When I before the allergy,
yeah.
Absolutely, but not as much, not that much.
Not that
like
much.
Once a
it's
month.
Not your deal.
Yeah. I'm a big crab guy.
Are you?
Yeah.
And you can't have that. That's like really bad. What happens?
I swell up.
If I just take a crab, like a cooked crab, right?
You force fed me?
No, not force fed, but like just rubbed it on your face. Like
I'd get itchy.
Shell. You would get
itchy.
Itchy.
Yeah. I'd get very itchy.
You know, if you were a wrestler, that would be your kryptonite. That's what would happen. Like John Moxley would throw like cooked crabs at you and you would just blow up. Guys, the show is all about professional wrestling, and man, what a week we've had. I feel like the last month has been just wrestling overload. So much going on with NXT, WWE, Roman Reigns returning, SmackDown, the Thunderdome, AEW, All Out. Everything that's going on, it's absolutely tremendous. So, we got so much wrestling, and we're going to run down everything, obviously. But before we continue, I want to thank all of our supporters, everybody joining the chat room. At the end of each show, we do a Q&A segment, so get your chat room questions ready and submit them in the chat. For people who listen to the podcast, you can submit them via Twitter and, of course, by email, mattmenpodcast@gmail.com. You could email us whatever you want to email us. But if you want to support us, go to patreon.com/mattmenpodcast. Fund as little as $1 per month, and it goes a long way. It helps us chug along with everything that we do here in the studio and, of course, on the GFK Network. So where do you want to start? Payback was interesting.
Yeah.
A lot went on. They set up a lot of angles. Obviously, outside of the Roman Reigns thing was the Sasha and Bayley possible split, another continuation of that angle for them
sure.
at that point. Which I don't want to. It's hard when we do a show on a Thursday opposed to a Tuesday because the pay per view is so long ago, right? So we'll just summarize it.
Yeah.
What did you think of Roman winning the title?
You know what? I'm all for it. This was a very, very quick pay per view. Also,
very quick.
Lot of matches too. They loaded it up. Most of the matches were around the 10-minute mark, which I think is pretty interesting. 8 matches for the whole night, including the pre-show. But I really people bitch and moaned about Roman winning the title. I really, really like it.
Okay, so I do too, and I'm going to explain to you. Before I do, we're watching on the TV here. Generally, when we do a show, we got something on the TV.
It's easy dubs.
Right now, we have Hardcore Heaven on, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think back in 1999, people were just scrolling their list of like shows and they're like, Hardcore Heaven? I'm into this.
Oh, dude.
And they ordered it thinking it's an adult film.
So I think back in the day, I think people forget how cable used to be, where it's not as fancy as it was now. Like, there's barely any description.
Like, if you're under 27,
sure.
right, your experience with television is very different than, like, us.
Yes.
Like, ordering pay-per-views.
Yeah. Look at that.
Like, if that's the first thing you've seen, you see Francine and
right.
Sonny, you're like, oh. It's like a weird porn.
This is a porn. All right. And that Sonny, like, and yeah. Oh, my God.
Sorry for that. I just had to say it. We're watching the intro and it got totally went through my head because it reminded me of the time my father ordered me a dinosaur movie and it ended up being a porn.
Get out of here.
And I was like 6 years old. It was like.
Tyrannosaur sex?
Yeah, I wish. No, it was like Back in Time.
It was a butt movie.
Yeah, it was. It was like called like back. It was a spin on like Back in Time.
And it's called Analopagus.
Dude, so he. I'll never forget. It was like a Saturday night. I was like, oh man, because I love freaking dinosaurs. And my dad was like, okay, I'll order this for you. Order the dinosaur movie, and it was actually a higher end porn film because you didn't realize it was a porn. Like, fully understand it was a porn until, like the six-minute mark.
You were like, this is just a bad movie.
I was like, oh, I remember it was a blonde with big, like, 90s blonde hair,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And she had on, like, a loincloth and, like, a very small, like, leather top. Like, out of hand. Like what you would expect somebody living in the jungle to look like, but a little too hot.
Okay.
And a guy was fighting a seed like an animated dinosaur.
Sweet. I like
and throws a spear, kills the dinosaur, and then he just bangs her.
Was it called Triceratops and Bottoms?
And that's the gay version.
I can do a lot of dinosaur sex puns.
I love
for
that
some
actually.
Also, do you think if we were living in the same time period and we had the current roster, would we get a pay per view called Bailey Legal?
Bailey Legal. Yeah, that would be it. A TV-14 version, right? If WWE was still edgy, Bailey Legal.
Bailey
would
Legal, and then because like I mean, look at her outfit on Sunday. Like people were going nuts that she had like the fishnets on.
Who, Bailey?
Yeah.
What fishnets did
she was
on?
Wearing like she had like a more sexy outfit.
Bailey?
Yeah.
I didn't even notice it.
Yeah.
Someone needs to
like her and Sasha went like I think they're I think they're going more Sherry Martel.
Okay. Very cool. All right. Anyway, I want to get back on track. Somebody wrote to me that their favorite part of the show is the tangents that we go on.
Mm-hmm.
Said there's no other experience in a pro wrestling podcast where people will you'll be talking about pro wrestling and all of a sudden you go into Tony Soprano impersonations for like 10 minutes. So
I'm sorry, I was talking about Sasha.
Oh, sorry, go Sasha. Ahead. Okay. Sasha was wearing
I'm
like, Bailey was wearing fish.
No.
So I thought it was okay pay-per-view. It was fine. It was fine. I actually enjoyed a Thunderdome.
Mm.
I know some people don't like it. I actually think it adds a different element. Listen, they left that performance center and just when they had like noise and stuff happening. So now they've put in this live crowd. Jess was watching Raw with me on Monday and she's like, wow, that's actually pretty cool. Like it looks like people are there.
Mm.
I think if they added the first row of people there,
like actual people,
that'll be a nice addition to it. So Roman comes in. My biggest problem with the Roman thing was this. Is he a heel? I don't know.
Who cares?
I still don't know. It doesn't matter. Fine, let's say he's a heel.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people were calling me out there like, oh, you see, we told you he's a heel. There's nothing that he did on SummerSlam that made him a heel to me.
Right.
You could perceive it in a different way. To me, wasn't a heel. It was just a badass, you know, showing his presence.
Let me interject there for a second. Okay, so the thing with Roman, and I think Bray Wyatt has the same thing on the roster, is... like Roman is too cool either way.
Roman is too cool either way. Yeah.
Right. Cause like if you, let's say you turn Corbin face, people are going to boom because like he's hateable.
So
right.
You bring up something interesting, right?
Not
like
cool.
Corbin is a real heel.
Yes.
I get, and it's less, a lot of people are like, well, it's like X-Pac heat. X-Pac heat was not a thing when X-Pac was wrestling.
Yeah.
I think people don't realize it. Like back in the '90s, when you watched it, people booed him. I don't think they booed him because they didn't want him there. They booed him because he was a bad guy, and they bad guys annoy them. There's this concept of what a good heel is.
Yeah.
I would say that Baron Corbin is the best heel on that roster, one of the best heels.
Yes.
And people are going to think I'm nuts for saying that, but the guy makes you hate him.
AJ, too.
AJ's a phenomenal heel, but you know what, though? AJ has that cool guy heel effect because you like him personally. You respect him.
What about Randy?
Randy's a phenomenal heel.
Great heel.
Great heel. But he's a heel you like to watch as a heel.
Yes.
You know, like, he's one of those guys. If anybody was cut out to be a heel in the wrestling business,
Randy
outside
Orton.
Of Flair, like, Flair was a career heel,
oh my God.
Right? But Flair hit a point where he's respected and he's Ric Flair.
He still gets cheered.
He became, not immortalized, but he became a parody of himself.
Okay. He got, like, he's much so like, over that he'll
so
just get
over,
cheered no matter what.
No matter what.
Yeah.
Randy is such a great, believable heel. But again, like, he's so good, you appreciate it.
Yes.
I think someone like Baron Corbin, you hate him because he's getting that heat. It's a different heat, in my opinion. Anyway.
Dirty heat.
By the way, AJ Styles, COVID positive. He announced on his Twitch stream or whatever he was on, Mixer or Twitch. I think Twitch now. Mixer's done.
The Rock, too.
The Rock, his whole family got it. And Kevin Nash, his wife got it,
oh,
too.
No.
Yeah. Big Sexy got it. He's a Big Sexy virus guy now.
Mm-hmm.
According to AJ Styles, he had it about 3 weeks ago.
Oh, wow.
But when was the last time he was on TV?
Friday.
He was on TV on Friday.
I think he did. I forgot who he called out on Friday. And I remember the promo. Oh my God! Why am I losing?
Yeah, no,
my mind right
now? It was Jeff Hardy. And,
Jeff Hardy.
Yeah, Jeff Hardy and Sammy showed up.
Yeah.
But when was the time before that he was on TV?
The week before.
Was
he lost it? He had to lose that title. Did he
wrestle with COVID?
I think so. He gave everybody COVID.
He said about a month ago, little under a month ago, he had it. So let's say 3 weeks. Was he absent for 2 weeks or 10 days? I guess if they filmed, they double filmed, right? I'm trying to do the math. MG Geek, I'm sure you can figure out the math. But if they did an early taping and he took like a week to stay off, it's possible. Mm-hmm. Also, Casey Michael, I don't know who he is. Squared Circle Sirens. He was one of the biggest pro wrestling women centric news. He passed away 26 years old.
That's upsetting.
We've had a ton of interaction with him on Twitter.
Yeah.
I don't know, over the years. The guy really did a great job at giving you information on a lot of up and coming names in female wrestling and people that signed with WWE or signed developmental deals. Terrible news to hear that he passed. Fellow wrestling journalist and someone that's had a very strong presence online and provided great information. I know that he was sick for a while. Didn't really know him personally other than a few interactions online, but our thoughts are with him and the family, obviously.
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace. Let's see what else. We got a ton of news here, so I'm trying to organize this. All right, so let's go to Roman. I want to continue this. I had a major fundamental problem with Roman Reigns on Payback.
Okay, why?
The whole contract thing. Right? We all know. I think the whole world knows how contracts work at this point, right?
Sure. Wrestling contracts or regular contracts?
Regular contracts. Uh-huh. But even in the world of wrestling, right? Wrestling contracts, you do a contract signing so you could have the match.
Right.
Roman didn't sign the contract, but WWE promoted that he's in the match without a contract.
Okay.
Right? He shows up at the end of the match, murders everyone, wins the title.
Great.
You can't sign a contract mid-match.
Why not? It's wrestling.
It doesn't work like that.
Nah, who cares?
I guess it does. And then, what were the things? But here's the question. What were the things that he wanted changed? That was the big thing. Roman wanted certain things changed in the contract.
Isn't it friggin' bananas that you get the Roman contract and then the Moxie contract?
I know.
In the same week?
And it's so different, right? And they've done so differently.
So friggin' weird.
Yeah, so they... I was like, okay, what were the things that he wanted different? Did he want to not...
More dogs.
I'm guessing what they're going to do is they're going to say, Roman, the Fiend can't challenge for the title. It has to be Bray.
Ooh, okay.
Maybe that'll be it, you know? But now, what's going on with that situation? There was an issue where Bray, early last week, was very unhappy with the direction.
Okay.
And there were modifications done.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking Bray will be a face, and I think he's going to be tremendous as a monster face like that. If you keep this guy as a specialty attraction where he just shows up and he does his spooky shit and like The Undertaker and goes away, I think that's a phenomenal attraction, a main event attraction. He doesn't ever have to win the title. I think when you put the title on this guy, it takes away from the illusion.
I'll agree to disagree on that. I like him with the belt, but I think Roman is the better choice. Also, MG Geek in the chat room, Mr. Gonzo, says the stipulation in the contract was that he can sign the contract when he wanted.
Maybe that was it.
Maybe that was it.
that's the most logical explanation.
Also, I like the new direction. This is the Roman Reigns we all wanted, right? What does it say? Wreck.
Eat shit and leave.
No,
is that not the
shirt? Shit, upper deck a toilet and
upper
leave.
I'm going to upper deck your toilet and leave.
But I want this, and WWE's never going to do it, but as a fan, you know what I want? I want this dude to show up on Monday and point at Drew McIntyre and be like, I want that belt too. Believe that.
Dude, I would love that.
Right? And also, do you think this is WWE panic mode because Brock is like, hey, you know what? I don't need to do this anymore.
Well, I'll tell you the Brock thing. The Brock thing is actually way less of a scenario than people are making it out to be. I spoke to someone that kind of knows this, and he broke it down this way. April is contract expired. Every April is contract expires.
Okay.
Generally, they're able to do an extension.
The day after WrestleMania.
Day after WrestleMania, and then they figure out a couple dates that maybe he could run, and then they renegotiate for SummerSlam. This is how it's always been. WWE is smart enough, and I think Brock is smart enough to know, his value is diminished in front of nobody when he wrestles in front of no live crowd.
Right.
And WWE has to justify how much money they're paying this guy. Mm-hmm. They're paying him a tremendous amount of money for very little dates. So you got to make that money somewhere. You got to make the money on big attraction matches, live gates, merch sales, you know, the lead up for the gate leading up to that big major match. Mm-hmm. And obviously the rub from the win or loss for other talent.
Right.
It's very difficult to get that right now, that with everything going on. The big thing that people lost their minds is that his t-shirt sales were off. They removed all the sales.
They took his shirt off.
Off.
Okay.
But that's a licensing agreement issue.
Right.
He hasn't signed a licensing agreement with them because he's in negotiation. This is a negotiation tactic on Brock's side. And WWE has 5 months to still sell your licensed material.
And apparently, Brock is a phenomenal negotiator.
Brock is a very good negotiator. He's an expert with these contracts. So, some of the rumors, let's lay to rest. Brock Lesnar is not going to Bellator. A lot of people were saying that this is going to set up a Fedor and Brock Lesnar fight.
Not happening.
I would love to see a Fedor or Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar would murder Fedor at this point.
I think so.
It's a very different Fedor. Croker does not have the funds to pay Brock Lesnar $15 million or $20 million for a fight, which that's what he's probably going to want.
That purse would bankrupt Bellator, I think,
right? The other problem, it would depend on what they would do on a pay-per-view gate.
Okay.
Could they do 1 million buys? Oh, that would be about $60 million, $68 million, maybe even more. They could do a $79 pay-per-view, which I don't know who's going to pay that for a Bellator pay-per-view. $79, you could make about, you could do a $100 million gate plus pay-per-view together. That's tremendous, but I don't think it's possible. The other problem is he has two fights on his UFC contract still. UFC's not going to easily let that go and him go to Bellator. The other thing is Brock would have to start going into USADA testing into the pool, and that's another 6 to 8 months.
Right.
So you're not going to go to Brock Lesnar fight until what? He's 44?
Another year.
Another year? Like, he can't be... He's not going to come out and fight John Jones or Cormier.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, Cormier's retired. John Jones is not going to fight him at this point. It's not happening. I think this is a negotiation thing. He's not going to go to AEW. However, I'll say, a lot of people got mad at that tweet that I did.
I know. It's very...
A lot of people got mad.
Like, I think when you put that out, you exposed the Twitter business in the regard that, like, people still think it's real.
People don't like him.
Well, it's also like a lot of folks were messaging us saying, like, why? So Brock could come in and destroy Mox and then leave and then hold the title. And I'm you know, somebody's writing this shit for him.
Yeah.
Like, Vince
doesn't decide. Right. Brock doesn't decide, I'm going to kill this guy in 3 seconds. You know?
Right. So I think, like, there's still that realism there where people are like, this guy.
I'll tell you one thing. That Kofi match with Brock. Brock was very unhappy.
Okay.
Brock wanted to have a match.
Okay.
So I just want to put that out there. I don't think it's been reported. A lot of people...
He didn't want to squash it.
He did not. He doesn't like those. He only likes it when it's a big guy.
Okay.
Brock is very adamant on the people that he works with and how they work together. Mm-hmm. He doesn't feel that it does him any good when he squashes a much smaller guy. It adds to the illusion, but if you're talking about a main event match, it does nobody any good.
Right.
The Heat, I think taking the title off of Kofi, I want to talk about Kofi a little bit.
Talk about Kofi.
Yeah, I want to get to it, though.
He used to be Jamaican.
He was Jamaican. Yeah, he was Jamaican, and then they realized that he's from Ghana.
Mm-hmm.
So Brock going to AEW, I think a lot of people, and this is the problem within wrestling, it's not about us, right? Like,
no,
the
never.
50 guys watching in the chat right now. The 5,000 or 10,000 or so that download the podcast and the video. It's not about us.
Right.
Like, we are very vocal.
Mm-hmm.
Who's in? Is that Fat Guido? Fat Vito.
Oh, wow.
Let me tell you something.
This guy.
Give me the cabagool.
This guy looks like everybody late 90s. I used to hang out late 90s in, like, the Lower East Side.
Yes, that's him. Yeah, everybody. It's not about us. It's about, again, I'm going to bring that P2, P3 viewership.
Sure.
Right? A casual viewer watching the NBA with a lead into eight. I'm just giving a scenario.
Go
right?
ahead. Yeah, please.
NBA's happening. Big time Lakers match, playoff match. AEW's following this. Right? AEW's on.
Mm-hmm.
What's going to be a better retention of a casual viewer from the NBA?
Oh, right. Yeah.
Kenny Omega and Jon Moxley or Brock Lesnar being on TV?
Oh, 100% Brock Lesnar.
100% Brock Lesnar, because he has the name recognition. He has recognition with actual sports,
right?
With wrestling fans, with casual fans, with older fans, younger fans, everybody knows him. That's how you hit that million mark.
Absolutely.
So let's talk about Impact now, right? Great example of TNA. TNA brought in all those guys.
Yeah.
It sucked. We know what happened with them. However, they were doing millions of viewers.
Right.
1.5 million, 1.6 million, 1.8 million. They were close to hitting 2 million. If you had the metrics of today, they were probably doing about 2 million viewers.
Okay.
It's a very different game. You got to talk about bringing in other people. It can't just be about, you know, the work, the workers. It has to be about the attraction.
Getting
as well.
Eyes on the product.
And does AEW have a major attraction piece?
I think they're the slow and steady locomotive that keeps over delivering.
Yes, and I think it's a great approach, but there's going to be a point that they're going to say,
we need Hogan.
We need Hogan.
We need, like,
well, kind of, right? Like, that's a great example. Well, there's going to be that moment.
I do think, to be honest with you, I do think that Kurt Angle is going to show up.
You
on
said
AEW.
That, and I think for Kurt, it would maybe have to do with Vince's, the loyalty of Vince, depending on how their relationship is right now.
Okay.
But they did freaking furlough the guy.
And listen, like, he has said in interviews that that's not the way he wanted to go out.
No, but I think they are signing him there as a brand ambassador.
Okay. I mean, like, it's great and everything that he mended that relationship, but, like, if he's furloughed and his contract is coming up, they haven't really put him on TV. That Justin Jordan storyline went nowhere.
Jason Jordan.
Because
I like Justin Jordan better.
I think Justin Jordan's a comic book creator. That Jason Jordan storyline went nowhere because the poor guy got hurt. Kurt is looking effing jacked right now.
He looks amazing. Plus, he slimmed down so much.
Plus, he was working out with a few AEW guys, I think, a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
So I do kind of think that might be, like, the surprise. And it's also, like, it's wrestling, right? So never say never.
Never say never with anything.
Yeah.
But
do you think he'd be good name recognition?
For AEW?
Yeah.
I would say no for only one reason.
Okay.
AEW has gotten these older wrestlers, and I think he would be put in a manager role. He wouldn't be really the showpiece. I think he needs somebody that is a little bit more active in the ring than a Kurt Angle. I think Kurt Angle will... Listen, I think Kurt Angle's going to show up for something eventually. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's going to be in a full-fledged contract wrestling role, but there aren't too many of those attractions left in the market.
Right.
Everybody's been diluted. So, you know, you don't have this pickings, you know, of bringing in these guys like the mid-2000s where you were bringing in, you know, Goldberg and Hogan and this guy and that
Nash
guy.
Who's
left for, if AEW were to bring in or sign a big-time attraction piece, who would it be?
Those two guys right there.
Nunzio and
Tajiri.
And Tajiri. I think that's great. That's a question that we should all sit on. You know, and Brock Lesnar is one of those guys that's the only guy outside of The Undertaker as an attraction. Cena.
Kane.
Cena. I'm taking, like, top.
Top. Okay.
Undertaker, Cena, CM Punk, Brock Lesnar. Realistically to say, like, okay, I'm not talking, like, Roman Reigns. There aren't too many of these guys.
Isn't that crazy?
It says something.
It does.
Yeah, it says something. Jericho's probably their big attraction guy now. That's the guy. That's the S. That's the special.
But I also think the cool thing with AEW is that once you get your eyes on the product, you're kind of hooked. So they don't really need to do the stunt casting. They don't need to do.
They don't,
like, the Hogans and the Booker T's and, like.
But the kids
are those guys.
But young kids are not grabbing on.
Really?
And that's a problem. Yeah. So I had a conversation with one of my buddies at Warner Media Group. And he was saying, like, you know, WWE has done a phenomenal job of capitalizing at the 8-year-old, the 9-year-old, the 10-year-old.
Absolutely.
They've done a tremendous job. And a lot of it has to do with the guy's size. Like, Braun Strowman is one of the most beloved wrestlers amongst kids.
It's true.
They love him because of his size. He's not a normal guy. And listen, why do we like Hogan? Why do we like Warrior? These were cartoons.
Colorful characters.
Colorful cartoons of a human being. So AEW is not getting that guy. They're not getting the kid. And I don't know if that's by design. Maybe they don't want it. Maybe they're going to concentrate heavier on the teenager, which they're doing great with. But there's going to become a point where you need that 8-year-old, because you know what? We were those 8-year-olds at one point.
Absolutely. Well, we always talk about this on the show where WWE corners the market on, like, the progression of a fan. When you're 8, you're a fan.
I thought you were going to say progressive feminist.
When you're 8, you're a fan. And then when you get older, you have a kid, you bring the kid to the show.
Yeah.
And then when they get older, you buy the merch for the kid. And then it's like a perpetual cycle.
Dude, I had one of the...
How many 8-year-olds were watching ECW?
5.
Like 3, right?
I had a very... It's going to be the dad in me talking about
you
this,
right? Right now?
Get
emotional.
I'm going to get a little emotional. So my kids really wanted to watch wrestling with me yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And my son... First time, he's 3. He was like, "Daddy, I want to watch wrestling." I'm like, "Okay." So I put on. He stayed up for AEW. We were watching AEW,
sweet, yeah.
And then I was just pulling up YouTube clips, and he's like, "Who's that?" I'm like, "That's Kenny."
Mm.
He's like, "I like Kenny. Who's that?" And like, he liked the big moves. So I just put on matches with big moves. He's like, "Whoa!" And my daughter came over. My daughter's like, "I want to watch Bayley because she likes Bayley."
Yeah,
okay. So I put Bayley on. I'm like, "You know what? This is freaking cool."
Yeah.
I got almost a 5-year-old. I got almost a 4-year-old, mm-hmm. and they're getting into this. And I'm like, "This is why WWE does so well with this."
Absolutely.
Because now you know what's going to happen in a year or so.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be going to the garden with the kids. I'm going to take them to wrestling at the garden, get the merch, get the hat, get the shirt.
Shirts,
you know, it's an experience.
Yeah.
You know, God willing, if it all goes well here. But I think it's interesting. AEW has a very different product. But again, you hit the nail on the head. It's very easy to watch.
It's super easy. Once you're in, you're in. It's super easy. The promo, I think also, nobody has WWE, everybody has the same promo style.
Yes.
AEW, everybody's a good example. Last night, Taz, Jake, and Eddie Kingston.
Shit. Yeah.
3 different promo styles going on at the same time. And they're like, they stepped on each other a little bit. But I think, like, if you change the channel and you're like, "Oh, who are these dudes just like barking at each other?" You kind of want to see what happens.
Yeah.
You know?
So, with that said, you know, we are critical of AEW. I don't like a lot of things that they do.
Give me some examples.
By the way, you know one thing that I love that they're doing before I get into what I don't like?
Yeah.
I absolutely love the Dark Order. And if you haven't... But here's the problem with this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sam Stackhouse and I tried no busting nuts, according to Jake Roberts. Yesterday, he made a slip-up in his promo.
Yeah.
And he goes, did you hear it?
Yes.
You guys are just squirrels trying to get a nut, and you're not going to bust this nut.
Mm-hmm.
Thought it was great. So, here's where the issue with Dark Orders. You gotta watch Being the Elite to understand
it. Yeah.
Because what, John Silver, unbelievable.
Genius. What I think though is like, if you're watching AEW, more than likely you're watching BTE.
I don't know about that because I rarely watch BTE.
Really?
I just got back into it. It's just another thing that I gotta watch. So I forget. So I'll just like skim through it. And I'll read about it, but I started watching it more the last, I want to say, month.
Yeah.
And my God, Brody Lee is...
All his vignettes are great.
All
that backstage stuff with them is awesome.
And he's one of these guys, you know, we talk about guys that shine after they leave WWE.
100%.
Great example of someone that didn't really do it is the Perfect 10. He hasn't broken out and shined at that level. Maybe he will.
He had a few moments, but I agree with you.
But again, it didn't come natural, right? Like they have to create those. I think for Brody Lee, this is very natural.
Yes.
This is something that this man has always had in him.
They were holding him back. Same thing with Mox.
Mox is another one. But you know, I'm not this crazy Mox fan though. I know you are. You really like him. I know that Josh Coleman, he one of our friends, he's another big Mox fan. Coco loves him. He just, it doesn't, I get it. I like it a lot.
Yeah.
He's not the act for me.
Okay.
Like, I appreciate everything he does. He's not... I don't know how to put it.
Okay.
Like, the people that appreciate Triple H, but they don't think that he's... They're not a huge fan of him.
You're kind of like, take it or leave it.
No, I take it. I like it, but I'm not, you know... I don't think that he's their biggest star. I don't think he's going to be the guy that changes that company. I think he's just another tool in the asset that they have.
Who do you think changes the company?
I would have said Kenny Omega a year ago.
Okay.
Let's see what happens.
Okay.
I think Hangman is going to be a big part in that company.
Oh, yeah.
I think Brody Lee's going to be a tremendous part of that company. But they need that one guy.
I think they're sitting on, like, a lot of these dudes.
Dude, you got to build them on TV.
To pull the trigger.
How long did it take Jericho to become Jericho?
Oh, I forget.
Right? 1990s.
He's
still becoming a different version. But... Honestly, though, Jericho's a great example. 1997, 97, 98, 99, 2000, 2001, he won the title. So it took 5 years for him to be the guy. But he didn't solidify himself as the man for quite a few years.
Do you think Hothead brought up a good point? I'm going to turn that into like something different. Do you think to get more eyes on the product, they need to go a non-traditional route? Like, for example, Kenny, big in the gaming community, right?
Yeah.
What if this guy brought like Ninja or like PewDiePie onto AEW TV? The streamers who bring in lots of revenue and lots of fans.
Well, how does it do for WWE with Xavier, right? Do you think it brings a tremendous amount of...
But they're not putting it on TV. I'm saying, like, on television. Like,
I think there is a crossover. I think especially with that young demo, I'm out of that realm of watching people play video games. Like, that's not for me.
It's not for me either,
I'm too old for that. But you know what? There are moments. Like, I watch a lot of retro gaming stuff now.
Have you watched High Score on Netflix?
No.
It's a great documentary
about
80s video games.
Yeah. Mwah. I got to watch it. Everybody's told me to watch it, actually. So, John Silver, my favorite guy right now in that roster, but I don't think a lot of people realize this, but, you know, we always talk about what WWE is, right?
Yeah.
Raw and SmackDown, it's a TV show about a family that owns a company, and it just so happens that it's a pro wrestling promotion, and they're all incompetent. Every single one of their employees is utterly incompetent. They're violent, they're vulgar, they can't work with people. They don't have any friends. Everybody's stabbed. It's the most incompetent company in the world. That's what Brody Lee is doing with the Dark Order.
Yeah,
he's Vince, and all these idiots are the wrestlers,
the writers, I like that aspect of it. Also, like, that dude cuts such a fiery promo every single time. And then, like, I think the big thing with a lot of these guys is like, you're afraid that they're gonna have that like WWE stink on them. You know, I'll give you a good example of that. Remember when John Morrison left?
Yeah.
He was the same dude in everything he did.
Yeah.
He was Johnny Mundo, Johnny Impact.
Yeah.
But it was the same thing.
Same guy.
Brody, great example. Change it. Jericho, change it. Mox, change it. I feel like you said, Sean Spears still has got like a little bit
figuring
of that funk
it
on
out.
Him. I think it's going to be tough for perception wise, tough for a dude like Matt Cardona.
Yeah, I was going to say Ryder's going to be, it's going to be very difficult for him.
You know, Goldust even got rid of it immediately. As soon as he had that match with Cody, you're like,
unbelievable, yeah. Right? It's interesting. So, I don't know. Raw was fine. They're setting up a lot of angles. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they're setting up another Randy Orton and Drew McIntyre match. What did you think of Keith Lee?
I like, they tweaked his theme song, right?
I think they did. Well, they tweaked his outfit. He doesn't have the lingerie shorts anymore.
Yeah.
My wife's shorts. He's not wearing those. So for people who did not see Payback, he really demolished Randy Orton.
Oh yeah.
They made him look like $1 million, and a lot of it has to do with the fact that Vince McMahon sees money in this guy,
which I like. But I'm also, as a fan, I'm a little. I'm a little concerned that he's just going to end up being another big guy who doesn't. His moveset is ridiculous. Javier Vega.
Yeah, it's for you.
His moveset is ridiculous.
He's unbelievable.
Jeez, these guys are still going at it.
They're still going at it.
His moveset. We're watching Tajiri and Little Guido on, was it Hardcore Heaven?
Hardcore Heaven 99.
This match is very long. So I think he's got such a great, innovative moveset for like such a big dude, and I feel like he's gonna end up, I hope he doesn't end up being just another big guy on the roster where Vince will be like, don't do this, do that, don't do this, do that, don't do this, do that. And they did put him with Dolph on Monday because Dolph is like the resident advisor.
My joke worked, right?
Yeah.
I said I'm shocked he's not going in there with Dolph Ziggler first. Now he's going to be going in there with Dolph, obviously.
Yeah, exactly.
But That's the base. That's how they judge how well of a worker you are. Shockingly, it's him and the Miz.
Well, because Miz never gets hurt. Knock on wood.
Well, like, I'll tell you that Miz match with AJ Styles when he showed up not go great for AJ.
Right.
And Jericho is the one that really backed AJ Styles and said no, let him do it. And they did, I think it was Jericho and him that did a match with no pre-plan. They just called it in the ring.
Yeah, yeah.
And it looked so different. People thought it was sloppy, but they were just calling it in the ring like a regular wrestling match.
I got a question for you.
Yes.
Do you think, I always like thinking about this because it's silly. I like the art of fighting. Do you think Miz is just like a surprisingly stiff dude?
No, he's very gentle.
You think he'll just like, oh, get in there with the Miz, and people have this perception
he
of the Miz.
He punches you in the belly.
And he just like cold cocks you like immediately.
He pinches your
just,
sides.
Like, right.
He just pinches you.
I always think about that stuff. Like, there was an interview with Hangman last year when he faced Jericho, mm-hmm. I think for the belt. And it was like out of character. And he was like, oh, yeah, that was the hardest I've ever gotten hit in my career.
Huh.
Getting into the match with Jericho, because like that's old school, like you're snug,
yeah,
you know. And like, I even like Bret Hart would say stuff like, you know, I'm not trying to hurt the guy, but they definitely know they were in a fight the next
Bret time. Hart's thing is he's never hurt a person in the ring,
right?
And that guy worked really tight,
yeah,
really tight.
But he would also say, but they know they will feel like they got into a fight,
yeah,
you know. I wonder who like your quote unquote like stiff guys are now that are not part of like NJPW.
Oh, that's a great question. In WWE, Sheamus.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
It would be Sheamus. It would be Styles. He works stiff.
Yeah.
Randy works tight. Drew works stiff, mm-hmm. from what I've heard. I mean, like, in a good way. Not he works snug.
Yeah.
Andrade, another guy that works snug.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Ciampa.
Yeah.
Ciampa works snug.
I think Balor,
Gargano,
probably.
Balor.
All
a lot
the
of
NXT
these guys.
Dudes,
yeah. All those NXT guys.
Yeah. They all like the choppies.
Yeah.
So... What do you think? We spent pretty much like this entire time like hovering around Payback,
which we said we weren't.
Well,
sorry,
I know
guys.
We're not. I mean, like, we're not going to go through the card or anything. Yeah. Do you think? Two questions. One, do you think it was a throwaway pay per view?
The purpose was to create Roman.
Okay.
Because they didn't have enough time to do it at SummerSlam.
Recreate
him. Yeah. And I think they're doing a good job at this. I'm still very nervous. This is a swerve, but from Roman. I'm very nervous about this. I hope it's not. I really want to see him in this character for an extended period of time and have him do something a little bit different. Who's out there? Lance Storm with Tammy Lynn Bitch, BYTC.
Yeah.
What is he doing?
Taking a dump on her.
What is he doing there? All right.
This is one he's covering. She's like changing, I think.
Oh, yeah. So I'm excited to see what they do.
Yeah.
So let's go to Tuesday. NXT on Tuesday, another great week for ratings for NXT, 850,000, 849, I think.
Super Tuesday.
Super Tuesday, they did a very good, I think it was as strong as 18 to 24 viewership.
Okay.
Which showed that those people are the AEW watchers, and they came in to watch NXT.
I agree with that.
This competition, to have them on the same night, is total BS. It makes no sense. I think it was a cool concept in the beginning, we're going to have this war, but... You're diluting your audience by at least 30%.
Mm-hmm.
At least. Why would you do this? Why are you hurting your own ratings and your own product so you can go head-to-head with another company? Guys, there's so many days in the week. About 2-3 months ago, I got word that they were playing with the idea of moving NXT.
Right.
AEW originally was going to be on Tuesdays. That's why they went with Dynamite for TNT. And they just couldn't work out the day because of other things that go on. A lot of basketball games, a lot of other events, a lot of shows. So they moved them on, put them on Wednesday. WWE decided that sounds like a good thing. Let's compete with them. Just so they don't get that TV deal. Because they didn't have a contract. Their goal was to affect the ratings to the point that Turner doesn't give them a guaranteed contract. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, they got it. They're getting about $49 million a year. From plus ad split and all that stuff. So, I mean, with proper advertising and properly done, it could be, you know, $75 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe. I got to look at those numbers again. But they just didn't want them to get that TV deal. And they got it. So they failed on that front. Now what they're doing, they're taking the same wrestling fan and they're telling them, pick one.
Right.
And that's wrong. And I'll tell you
why.
Always pick AEW on that night.
Right.
Not because I'm not watching NXT, because it's a more lively show. It's a more fun show to watch because it's in a bigger building, obviously. And obviously, they were touring at the time when they started. So I will always pick that. NXT, I could watch anytime.
Right.
That's not good.
Right.
I think people don't realize that, because what you've done, you're prioritizing what's more important to you.
We're also conditioned from when we used to watch NXT on the network to say, I could just watch this tomorrow.
I could watch it tomorrow. And it was an hour. And it was so much easier to watch. There was one hot angle every show.
Exactly.
That was it. Now you've taken that, made it 2 hours. It's weekly. Your talent is all over the place. You know, they made that weird call up and then they brought him back. And guys, put the show on Tuesdays. And yeah. They're going to be on Tuesday again, I believe, next week. They're on a post.
They're doing the Tuesday, the part two.
Part two. So I really think this is going to help them make that decision that they should be on Tuesday. I'm expecting that they're going to be closer to 900,000 than 800,000 next week. That's a big match, that main event.
Absolutely.
So on the watch along that we did on Sunday, Rich was not present. Rich had a very busy day.
Very busy.
By the way, Hothead in the chat room, thank you. Dave said on Observer Radio that USA doesn't want AEW to be successful either because they don't want to look dumb for spending $250 million for similar numbers that TNT paid $49 million. Dave is wrong on that. USA 100% wants them to be successful.
Right.
100%. I don't think they're spending $250 million for NXT. That's not accurate at all. They're spending that number is way too big. If Dave said that, I don't remember what the deal was. I from what I remember, it wasn't that significant of a deal compared to what you know they normally get. So put them on Tuesdays. Have the lead in.
Oh, forget it.
Yeah. Monday be your lead in for Tuesday. Now you got Monday. You got Tuesday. Wednesday, fine, go away. Thursday, whatever.
Yeah.
Friday, now you got SmackDown. That's the way better way of doing this.
But. Do you think NXT on Tuesday will affect those Impact numbers?
I don't think so because nobody has access.
That's true.
No, I mean, it's a very low count of TV providers that have it right now.
I used to have it.
I did too. Mm-hmm. I did too, but I got YouTube TV now and I don't have it.
Oh, very interesting.
Yeah.
So, you cable cut?
I cut my cable years ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'm about to cut YouTube TV also because it's like $80 a month now.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
What?
So, the other thing here is... that, you know, you got to get the proper eyeballs. WWE does not want to go to Tuesday for NXT for one plain reason. They still feel that it's a possibility for SmackDown to go back to Tuesdays instead of Friday. Because Friday is a sucky night. Friday sucks to watch anything. Right? Like, right now everybody's home, but I'm never home on a Friday night.
Yeah, you're always out there.
I'm out there.
You know.
Yeah.
Shooting.
Is that what I'm doing?
I just assumed.
Is that it?
I always assumed.
What do you think the first thing I do after I leave work on a Friday?
Oh, you find a bathroom in Penn Station.
Yeah.
You get the old rubber tie out.
Yeah, that's it? That's what you think?
Old school, like one end in your teeth and the other end on the other side. I just always assumed Friday night was heroin night for you.
Is that, you're off by one day.
Okay. It's Thursday night.
So you know it's very complicated. I don't know. I don't want to dwell on the ratings, but NXT being on Tuesday works out way better for my life.
Absolutely. I think them on Tuesday is good. Plus they know they're going to get the viewership and they know they can tout those numbers and be like, we did like 1.2 million blah blah blah. But also like it's good for AEW because their numbers will go up as well.
Yeah.
You know, healthy competition is always good. It's two separate shows. I think it was dumb for WWE to try to be like, no, we need to monopolize the landscape of pro wrestling. You can't watch anything else. And now, listen, the cat's out of the bag. People like AEW a lot. You know, those figures got sold out like nobody's business. They're doing big numbers. You know, like people like their roster. People want to go there. They have a very deep roster, which is kind of interesting.
People are into it, man.
People are super into it. So like Tuesday, it was a 2-hour show for NXT. Very good lead-up matches. You had Isaiah Swerve Scott and Breezango beating Legado del Fantasma in a street fight. You had Candice LeRae beating Katie Catanzaro. I'm glad that she's on TV again. Timothy Thatcher beating Bronson Reed. Did you get said?
Timothy Thatcher versus Bronson. Dude, Bronson Reed's entrance.
So good.
So freaking good, huh?
Big monster.
And the way that they do the graphics in that building in Full Sail looks unbelievable.
He's going to be a Vince guy.
Yeah, it looks it.
Within the next couple of years.
I'm seeing something.
So then you had, and also, like, do you think that this match should have happened before Balor fought Timothy Thatcher at TakeOver?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Here's one thing I want to say. I know you were going to get to the main event. So on, I think we were told the main event last week. Did I tell you? Did I send you that? Yeah, I did send it to you. And I, you know, on the watch along, people wanted to hear it. So I told them, I'm like, skip ahead if you don't want to hear. But we pretty much laid out exactly what's going to happen in that match. The only thing that didn't happen that they decided to do was split the finish.
Right.
So, go ahead. Sorry.
So you had your main event, Tommaso Ciampa, Johnny Gargano, Adam Cole, and Finn Balor. which ended in a draw, but it still it didn't make any of those guys look weak.
No.
Surprise finish. Finn does the double stomp, which I know you hate.
I hate the double
and
stomp.
And then Cole hits him with the last shot.
Yeah.
So you get two points for each guy. Regal comes out, says next week is the ender, which we already know the end.
Yeah, which we know the end, which I'm not going to say on the show.
We're not going to say on the show, but we know the end of it, and I'm very excited for that. I think that's going to be very cool. I popped big time for the Bullet Club 2 suite.
Yeah, that was awesome. I wish it lasted a little longer, though.
You know, because Finn, I like the direction that Finn's character is going, because he's basically the rock and roller again.
He's kind of, he's, you know, Prince Devitt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really solid show. I really enjoyed it. And I think the way they put that 2-hour show together with a big main event should be the way they do it going forward.
Yeah. Yeah. Big time. And then AEW last night, you know, just completing angles, setting up the okay go home show. Fine. It was fine. It was a fine go home show.
I hate saying this.
Yeah.
And I'm going to, this is going to be my one gripe. I got the, and we're big AEW fans, as you well know, we're big fans of wrestling. But my one gripe was when I was watching Jericho facing Janela, it seemed like I was watching it at like a high school gym.
Oh, yeah.
Where the legend shows up.
He did not look great.
And it's not even that he didn't look great, but I'm just like, I like Joey Janela, but I feel like I don't think that was a good move putting him with Jericho last night. I don't know why. I just got like this weird like, it's like a booking thing for me.
I 100% I'm in line with you.
Love both of them. Yeah. I think that Sunny Kiss like running was awesome. You know, the Jack Hager being like him being at ringside.
A couple
great,
months
you know?
Ago, you got to remember a couple months ago, Kenny Omega and Janela had this unbelievable match on After Dark, right? Competitive match.
Right.
And today, last night, Jericho just demolished Joey Janela.
Right.
And Jericho did not look great. He looked a little bigger. I don't know if that it was an illusion from the shirt, but he looks like he. He's not slimming down.
They did announce him at 335 pounds.
They did
last night.
Yeah, so maybe they're alluding, you know, at something. But
he's at the point where he can look and do whatever however he wants, right?
He needs to be careful because the reason why he's still so popular is because he's older and he could still work.
Oh yeah,
and you know he looked like he had a couple pounds on him. So I don't know if that was by design that they made him look like that a little bit because some you know he could slim down, he could drop like a ton of weight by by the show date. But it was interesting. The other thing
he looked like I want to say he looked bulkier, not fatter.
I don't know that I don't like how he cut off the sleeves on the shirt. It wasn't a good cut. I'm an expert.
He should have seen your guy.
He should have seen how I do it.
Like
Chris should.
He should have went to your guy.
Yeah. You should have got my guy. The other thing, a lot of people, and this may surprise people, it was the first time ever, I believe, that an NWA champion wrestled on TNT.
Really? Or yeah?
Yeah.
Huh.
Give me a moment that a NWA wrestler, a current NWA wrestler, would wrestle on TNT.
Interesting. Okay.
Was it Nitro?
Oh, wow. Okay.
Everything was on TBS.
Yeah. Very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That Thunder Rosa match, fantastic.
She's good.
JR also was kind of, I liked how he kind of like broke the fourth wall a little bit. And it was just like, this is one of the best women's matches we've had on this program. Sorry. You know, because like it's, you know, when it's not good.
Yeah.
You know, I think her and Sheeta are going to do phenomenal. And I'm actually looking forward to Big Swole and Britt Baker.
Yeah, that's going to be good, too. And obviously, we're seeing the demise of Kenny and Hangman as a tag team.
Do you think so?
I think so, because he needs to go to the cleaner. I think he needs to get out of this tag thing. He needs to go become a singles and really elevate that main roster. I think with Pac coming back.
Yes.
Pac coming back and Kenny becoming a singles guy again and becoming the cleaner. Now you have a very competitive singles competition for matches.
He did have the sunglasses on.
He did put the sunglasses on, yeah.
So. Do you really want him back as a cleaner?
I do.
Like straight heel?
No, they're just a cool guy character, you know? Yeah. I think him becoming that character works for him, and that's what got him popular.
Well, I want to see what the reveal is with the Hangman stuff, because I think there's going to be that swerve where Hangman ends up being reinstated, quote-unquote, into the Elite, and Kenny ends up getting bounced.
I don't know. I don't know what the swerve is going to be, but there's going to be something. The Bucks were very aggressive also last night. They were much more heelish.
Yeah.
which I kind of like. So they're alluding to something, and, mm-hmm. and we'll see what happens with the fallout of this. But yeah, Saturday is the pay per view. We're gonna be doing a watch along.
Yes, sir.
We're with everybody to and it's gonna be a lot of fun. Are you coming in on Saturday? What are you planning on doing?
I don't know. It depends on how my day goes, but like I'll definitely be doing the show with you.
Okay.
I'm not sure if I'm gonna be here, if I'm gonna be at home.
Okay.
Or if I'm gonna do a Tommy Dreamer and jump
on a ladder. You could do that too.
This is a porno.
I think so. See, it is. What else do we have this week? Guys, what am I missing here? I know I'm missing something.
A lot of wrestling, dude.
It was so much wrestling. A lot of good wrestling.
Who do you think is going to take that Casino Battle Royal?
I don't know. Who's in it right now?
Oh.
Did they finalize it? It's like everybody, right?
Well, you have... The Dark Order didn't show up, right? For that big melee?
No.
The Guns?
Yeah.
It'd be great if Billy Gunn won.
Billy Gunn wins?
I want to say like my top five contenders, Darby Allin.
Oh, Darby might take it. You're right.
Brian Cage, Archer.
Yeah.
I do like King. If Kingston took that, I'd be pretty satisfied with that.
They got to do something with him. He's mm-hmm. another top singles guy in that company. He could do really well with
that. It's very interesting how I think they did something very right where their tag team division is super, super strong, but mm-hmm. in half of the tag teams, you can have breakout single stars.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
So Penta, Phoenix.
Okay.
Two examples. I know Pac was teaming up with them before that.
They're gonna split up a lot of these tag teams. They got a ton
you
of
think
tag
so?
Teams. Yeah, they're gonna have to. I think they like Penta should be a singles guy. You mm-hmm. know, he was really some of these guys, their star has diminished a little bit from AEW. Like Penta's one of these guys that he was really getting there as a singles guy.
Hot act.
And it's, you know, that slowed down a lot. Kenny Omega slowed down a lot. I think it's just a shuffle.
I think doing it on purpose, though.
They're not doing it on purpose.
I think so.
You think so?
I think this is very well crafted that they're building new guys. They're putting spotlights on other guys who haven't had it before. And then in a year or two, you're going to get Kenny, Phoenix, Penta. Like, you're going to get, like what you want out of these guys is going to happen.
Well, a lot of these guys were big fish in a small pond, and now mm-hmm. they're just one of the fish, you know, in the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they got to figure out what they're doing with that. Retribution on Raw was interesting.
Going forward, they're going to be a Raw angle.
Is that the story now? I don't know why, because that was 100% a SmackDown angle.
I think Vince got cold on him.
Something happened.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, you know what was the moment for me? When they went in that ring with the chainsaw and they started jumping around like a bunch of dopes?
Yes.
They looked really stupid.
Yes.
So I'm curious what happens with Retribution at this point.
I think Vince had a meeting and then he was like, what's your name? Chelsea Green. Nice to meet you. What's your name? Mia Yim. Nice to meet you. What's your name? Santana Garrett. Nice to meet you. What's your name? Dominic Dijakovic. What? Done. All right, this is over.
Done.
This is done. He couldn't pronounce his name.
So it looks like a Raw brand exclusive. I have no idea what they're doing with this at this point.
Nah.
A lot of angles happening. Apparently, Vince doesn't want to give the illusion that it's Roman, but you kind of want to give that illusion because it keeps people questioning. So we'll see what happens. You know what that means to me? No, what it means to me is that they have gotten... The end result of the unveil will probably set to disappoint.
Yes.
You know what I mean? That's what I think is going to happen. I think that's why they're kind of backing off and making it a Raw thing rather than going all over the place. Because if you have a group taking over, you know, it could be so many people. Now they kind of narrowed it down. Tim in our chat room, I didn't sleep good last night. Thanks for making my day better. $5. Thank you, Tim.
Sorry about your nightmares, bro.
Sorry about your nightmares. Daymares. That's what I get.
Mm-hmm.
A ton of daymares. Guys, submit your questions in the chat room. We'll do our Q&A now. But do you want to? Here's a question for you.
Shoot.
I'll ask you off the air. Never mind.
Why, you want to set the mics off real quick?
No. I'll ask you off the air.
You're gonna forget.
I'm gonna. No, I won't. 100% I'll remember.
You want to come over later and watch porn?
Yeah. Dinosaur porn. Submit your questions in the chat room and we'll do
Pegasaurus?
Our best to answer them. Pegasaurus.
We're gonna watch Pegasaurus.
Pegasaurus 6. So let's see. Questions in the chat. Let's see where we are going.
Now is the time for your questions. Give us your questions, guys. Before I said hold on to your questions, and then everybody was like, No questions now.
So now you got to resubmit them.
Now you got to resubmit your questions because we can't go back into the chat room. Are you kidding me?
All right. What do we have here?
Beulah?
Is that Beulah McGill? No, it's not. Beulah wasn't here in 99.
I can't really see.
Francine, the queen of extreme.
Oh, my God.
And Tommy Dreamer's vomiting.
Dreamer's like 25 right there.
Dreamer's just vomiting everywhere. All right. What do we have, Rich?
Who takes the belt off of Io Shirai?
Who do they have right now?
I'm going to go Rhea Ripley.
Rebuild her. Yeah. I think that's perfect.
I like her new look. She looks nuts. She looks like super Mad Maxi right now.
Yeah, she's gotten a very unique look.
Is Dakota Kai going to the main roster? Sorry to cut you off.
Eventually.
Okay. Eventually, everybody's going to the main roster, right?
I don't know. Is she someone that'll do great on the main roster?
I think she'll get lost in shuffle.
I think that, yeah.
She looks too much like Bayley and Sasha.
She fits in that bubble.
She fits in that bubble. Is Thunder Rosa taking the title?
I don't know, but that is interesting, right? Like,
yeah.
You think yeah?
I think so.
Unify those titles?
I think Sheeta's had it for not too long, but I think her run is over.
I think Thunder Rosa is very impressive.
She's great. Yeah. She can teach them a lot. Serena Deeb also.
Yeah, very good.
Phenomenal.
Yeah, very good.
That's how you do it.
Uh-huh.
I feel like they cooled off on the... Especially now because of the COVID stuff, you're not getting the Japanese talent who can help the American talent.
Yeah.
So I feel like that, unfortunately, that ladies roster is a little bit lackluster now. You know, your standouts, Sheeta, clearly, Britt Baker, Swole is getting a lot better.
By the way, and this isn't a lack of attempt from AEW. No. It just shows you how WWE has really capitalized on women's wrestling.
100%.
And they've really signed up the best of the best. I mean, that's the truth.
Mm.
There's only a handful of people left that are available. I think Tessa may have signed already. I don't know.
Oh, wow.
But it looks like she's WWE bound. I'd be shocked if that falls apart, that deal. But, you know, she was she was a big name.
Never say never.
But there's not too many people left for them to sign.
Yes, that is true, especially now in this landscape. Yeah. How do you feel about AEW commentary saying last week that FTR have in their contract that all the matches they are in have to have rules? So does that mean there are no rules in any AEW matches? I think that was a dig on the referee stuff.
That was a dig on the ref stuff, and that was a dig on holding the rope for tag matches.
Yeah.
Because AEW has no rope. I think that's what it is, that they're fundamental tag team wrestling compared to AEW being a modern-day tag team wrestling.
Right. Do you miss Roman's vest as much as the rest of us?
Well, I don't know. Maybe he's going to have the vest. He's been wrestling with it. He wrestled with a t-shirt on.
I'm cool with the t-shirt.
Okay, but does he still wrestle with the camo pants?
Like the...
The carpenter pants
like
that he
wears? Like the riot pants?
Yeah.
The riot gear pants?
Like, why not just put him in underwear?
Short shorts.
I want him in underwear. I want him in trunks.
Not yet.
Oh,
I'm afraid of his legs.
You're afraid of what you're going to see.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's going to be like...
Chicken legs.
Like chicken legs?
Like Samoan chicken legs.
Samoan chicken legs.
How do you feel about Shawn? This is from Mr. Gonzo. How do you feel about Shawn Michaels being the head booker of NXT UK and doing it all virtually from front? Fine with it. I don't care.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, NXT UK, did you see their new studio?
No.
I tweeted it on the Mattman account, twitter.com/mattmanpodcast. It looks beautiful. BT Sports, it's their facility. Looks beautiful. My God, it looks great. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be interesting to see. Listen, Shawn is a phenomenal mind in wrestling. The guy understands what works and what doesn't. He was in the hottest faction and at the hottest time in pro wrestling. So, you know, it's going to be fine.
How do you think, this is from Hothead, how do you think the All Out pay-per-view will do? I think it's going to be the lowest bought pay-per-view at 85 to 90K since the hype just doesn't feel there. I think it's going to do well.
I think it's going to do well. Yeah. They said that about the last pay-per-view that they ran, and they did 100,000. And I thought, and I was convinced they were going to do bad.
Mm-hmm.
When was the last one that they had?
Fight for the Fallen?
Fight for the Fallen, was that it?
Was that the free... No, that was...
Revolution.
I don't remember, dude.
They did Revolution, January, February, March, April. What was the one in April? Whatever
Double
it was.
Or Nothing?
Double or Nothing? With no audience?
Yeah.
Whatever, Double or Nothing. Yeah, and I thought it'd be doing terrible, but they did 100,000. So it was fine.
Great. Aaron Banks, how do you feel about Barrett on NXT commentary? Do you think he'll ever wrestle for them, or is he Retribution? That's great. I would like to see him as the mouthpiece for Retribution, and I love him on commentary. I think he's a guy that could play ball. It sucks that they parted ways with Morrow, but I do think Morrow is going to show up anywhere he wants to.
Morrow's interesting. I don't think Morrow is showing up in AEW.
But he can go anywhere. He can do MLW if he wants to.
I don't know. Is
he
that, do is Ring that of true? Honor. I don't know. I don't know right now. I think he may have a non-compete right now.
He's got the 90-day, right?
He has probably a 90-day, yeah. Okay. Listen, Morrow's interesting. I don't think Morrow was cut out for the corporate structure.
Mm-hmm.
It just, you know, and to be honest, I haven't heard, you know, he's not a, I got to be careful how I say this, right? Because I'm just going to repeat what was said to me. He had a lot of issues working with people.
Okay.
Right? Some people he worked unbelievably well with, absolutely, like Hunter and Michael Cole.
Nigel McGuinness.
And Nigel. Well, I don't know. Possibly. Okay. I don't know. But I'm just what I was told. But there were a ton of people that he rubbed the wrong way.
Interesting.
He's just his personality clashed. And I think
he's very passionate.
Very passionate. And in that, but the other thing was, you know, due to his issues, he did not take criticism well. And he was shut down and it would upset him tremendously.
Okay.
So, you know, that, and especially in a corporate environment in WWE,
we
see how that is. You know, Mick Foley has talked about one of the worst things he ever did was commentary because it was just so, it made him quit the company.
Vince in his ear. Cursing.
So you gotta be a very specific type of person to be able to withstand that. I think for Morrow, you know, for him to do New Japan every now and then, do big time pay-per-views, and that's what he is. He's a big time match guy.
Oh yeah.
Bring him out for specialty things. You know, have him out there for that. I just wish him well and I hope he does great. He's gonna do phenomenal. He's one of the best commentators.
I agree with that. I also think it's WWE doesn't have room for such a big personality because they don't like big personalities on commentary anymore. As evident by what's been on commentary for the last couple of years, you know, they like to have that, like, that controllable, like, you know, it's their commentary is terrible. I do like Corey Graves.
Yeah.
You know, I do like Todd Phillips. I like the other, I like Vic Joseph, but like, it's a far cry from what wrestling should be. Right.
By the way, we're going to find out tomorrow what Roman wanted in the contract.
I want a bigger dog.
What if he wanted a hamburger?
What if he wanted to kiss Jerry Lynn?
Maybe. Look at his sweet golden locks.
Jerry Lynn, one of the most, just a little tangent. Jerry Lynn, one of the most underrated guys of all time.
Big time, yeah.
What happened that this dude could not make it in WWE? Was he too far ahead of his time? Was he too small?
I think he was too far ahead of his time.
He's so, like, the series that he had with Rob Van Dam.
Look at
ECW,
those traps.
Forget it, dude. This guy looks like $1 million. Awesome. One thing I really love about ECW is, like, people always think about the hardcore stuff, but the actual pro wrestling stuff is phenomenal because these dudes took such pride in how they looked for a small promotion.
Yeah. You know? Because they acted like it was a big time promotion.
Yeah. TV bodies. So, speaking of which, who has the sexier paunch, Chris Jericho or Joey Janela?
Joey Janela.
Yeah, you like that? You like that soft belly?
I like the soft belly.
Okay. Retribution being Raw exclusive, is Ali the leader?
I don't know. I have gotten no feedback on who it could be, who it can't be. I've gotten zero.
Mm-hmm.
And that's worrisome because that generally means that they don't know yet. I'm not saying that's a fact, but that's my opinion.
Mercedes Martinez was in Retribution on Monday. Is the cage match her NXT write-off? I don't know.
I think Mercedes Martinez should stay there, but
yes,
you know, her and Rhea, you know, I think that should continue a little bit. I don't think it should end immediately. I think that feud should go on.
It's tough not to talk about this right now.
Oh, Van Damme coming out?
With Bill Alfonso?
With Fonzie?
How much did you hate Bill Alfonso?
The freaking whistle, man. The worst.
Okay. So, do you think AEW is going to start scripting some of their promos for certain talents?
Yes.
FTR and Omega were cursing every sentence, and it turned into a cluster. I think it turned into a cluster because they
messed up on the censoring.
They screwed up on the censoring.
Well, they're allowed to curse certain times.
Yes.
I don't think scripting. It's the definition of, you know, scripting a promo is very different than scripting it for WWE. WWE scripts it
verbatim, like word for word.
And these guys have a concept and they know what they're going to say. They go out there and I guess they scripted themselves. I do think that the interactions when you have multiple people in the ring, it does become a little jumbled for AEW.
Mm-hmm.
people start going on top of each other. We saw that happen in two segments.
Last night. Yeah, yeah.
So, and again, learning. You know, learn. They're going to learn. They're going to figure it out.
How did you like the ending of AEW?
Where Moxie got the shit kicked out of him?
Mm-hmm.
I thought the most telling was Wardlow holding the title and staring at it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I like Wardlow, man.
I like that.
Big dude. I tweeted out last night, your new Shield is going to be Mox, Wardlow, and Griff Garrison.
Oh, my God. I thought it was fine. I thought, you know, they've set it up where MJF doesn't win. Mm-hmm. In if you, you know, once you get the heat on the Right in the Go-Home show, that there no means you're going to lose. So,
yeah.
Who knows? I don't know. You know, they do things differently. I think MJF is great. This guy's going to be phenomenal. Is it too early for him to be in a world title position? I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
I don't believe he'll retain, but if I'm wrong, I'll be happy to. Doesn't matter.
What is a tooth and nail match?
What is a tooth and nail match?
I think it's going to be held in a salon / dental office.
Is that what they're calling it? A tooth and nail match?
Yeah.
That's the worst dentist ever.
I do like how Britt Baker's using the mandible claw, though.
Yeah. I like that.
So great.
I like that a lot.
Who'd have thought, like, a legitimate dentist would be using the mandible claw?
I think that's phenomenal.
As a wrestling finisher. It's
love
fantastic.
It. Love it.
I know this is Hothead 567. I know this is a strange question, but is pro wrestling going to exist 25 years down the line with stuff like AI and Neuralink? Pro wrestling will always be around.
Dude, did you look up Neuralink? Did you look into that stuff?
It's so bonkers.
Dude, it's bonkers, right? Like, Dude, I think it's amazing stuff.
That's like every episode of Black Mirror.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's ridiculous. Do you think we're living in a simulation?
I 100%.
Yeah.
There's no question asked.
Yeah.
I believe this is all simulation.
Stimulation.
I think it'll exist. But again, I don't know. Actually, that's a great question. 25 years from now?
They probably said that shit in like 1913, dude.
Is wrestling going to exist in 25 years? I don't know. Is it going to exist in the current state that we're in? I don't know. You know, are we going to get... But if you think about the trajectory of wrestling, like in 10 years, are we going to get like a series of shoot interviews?
Yes.
But from like people shitting on John Cena, you know?
We're going to get the MJF shoot where he's taking a dump on everybody.
On everybody. I don't know. Like, I think wrestling is fascinating because the success of today's wrestling has everything to do with the internet culture and not TV.
Right.
The success of what we see today with AEW and New Japan and even WWE and NXT, it has to do with the internet culture. And this all started, you know, with this bizarro, you know, the internet culture of wrestling started with the shoot interviews and it led into something else, you know. I don't know what the next evolutionary step is going to be in 25 years. You know, we'll see. I don't know.
Who knows? I think it'll still exist. I think the way we consume it might be a little different, but I think wrestling will always exist.
But we're like, also sitting on the distant memory of Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant and The Rock and Steve Austin, right? Like everything that wrestling is today still has that in the back burner. But when these guys are gone, not dead, but gone from the conversation, when a Steve Austin is really a distant memory from 40 years ago. Mm-hmm. Who's going to be those guys that we talk about, like the Austins and the Rocks?
It might shift. Like, imagine, like, trends come and go. So imagine, like, and this is just because, like, it's the first thing that popped into my head. Remember when Tamagotchis were really popular?
Yes.
Right.
And then they came back.
Right. So that was the most popular thing in the world. Imagine if one day something happens and Japanese wrestling just hits.
And it becomes the big thing.
The biggest, the most popular thing in America. Well, I would say like one of the most popular things, right? And then you got like national exposure for guys like Okada and Naito and Evil and Bushi and Kenta. Like all these dudes, right? Like,
well, they were about to get it and then AEW started.
You never know what's going to happen in the future, right?
No, you don't know. You have no idea. Are we actually going to be around in 2021? Who knows? It's a simulation. They might reset everything.
We got September, October, November. We got 4 months left to see what happens.
We'll see.
This year's been bonkers.
Bonkers, dude. Yeah. Bonkers. What do you think will come from Alexa and the Fiend storyline? I kind of like her in a new role. I think that might be cool.
Yeah.
Do they go with it? I don't know. All right. Last couple questions, guys. Submit them in the chat. If you have it, submit them.
Eric says, top celebrity match of all time? I'm going... Lawrence Taylor, Bam Bam Bigelow.
Lawrence told me that was his favorite thing that he's ever done.
I believe it.
You know what I'm going to go with? Karl Malone.
Oh, so good, too.
And DDP and Dennis Rodman and Hogan. That was a great celebrity
match. Did you watch that documentary on the network about that?
No.
It's very good.
Is it?
It's very good. WWE did produce this Dennis Rodman thing, And it's really cool to hear his perspective and other people's perspectives about how he really wanted to do it, but he didn't take it as seriously as Karl Malone.
Yeah.
Where Karl Malone was in the gym all the time and he looked shredded, and Dennis Rodman was getting wasted and just like barely showing up to TV.
Yeah, unbelievable. So let's see what else we got here.
Did you look into Hot Mike yet?
I did.
Who's Hot Mike?
Hot Mike, M-I-K-E. It's to do watch alongs. I looked into it. I don't know how we can implement it with the way that we do it, but I'm going to play around with it soon and see if we could do something with it.
I downloaded this program called Ecamm Live. Yeah.
Don't care for it.
Really?
Yeah.
I enjoy it.
Unless they change the Ecamm Live. Let's see.
Lets me use my camera.
It does.
That's all I care about. It lets me use my... It immediately picks up the camera and
which
the mic on the
which
camera.
Which camera?
My Canon...
And VMix Call didn't pick it up for you?
Nope. 5D M4 picks it up immediately. Immediately. I bought it.
Maybe we could do Skype. Maybe it'll pick it up in Skype.
I think it will.
Okay.
That would be...
Yeah, we could do that.
Do you want to try it at some point?
Let's try it. It's a subscription service.
I'm going to look ridiculous. I did the 1 year, and I got a 15% code for it. 122. Not bad.
Let me see.
Records HD. You can have up to 5 people on Skype at the same time.
Yeah. I think that's pretty cool. Ecamm Live. Let's see. I'll play with it. Let's see if we could do something with it. Any other questions?
Do you think crowds will be back for the Rumble, my favorite pay-per-view?
Dominic, great question.
Domestic.
Domestic, I'm so sorry.
Dominic Butler.
Domestic Butler. Royal Rumble, end of January. I'm going to say yes.
I'm going to say no, and I'm going to say a tiny crowd for WrestleMania.
Tiny crowd for WrestleMania. I'm going to say we're not going to get a stadium. Or maybe we do get a stadium. Maybe that's the way to do it. I don't know.
Who knows? One more question?
Yeah, let's do one more.
Bachelor 3000. Any wrestler from the past you would have loved to see wrestle live?
That we haven't?
I guess so. I've never seen Hogan live.
I've seen Hogan live.
I've never seen... To appreciate it, though?
Yeah, I was a kid.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I loved it. That was like the greatest thing ever. I've seen Hogan live a handful of times.
I've never seen Eddie Guerrero live, I think. Or Sean. Prime Shawn Michaels, I think I would have really enjoyed to see that.
I've seen Shawn live. I've seen, you know, for me, it was always like, I would love to see Okada, and I'd love to see,
we
saw Muda live.
We saw Muda.
We saw Okada. We saw, you know, Liger.
Ibushi.
I'd love to see Austin live one last time.
Oh, my God.
I'd love to see Austin live one last time. I'm trying to think, who have I not seen live?
I would have loved to have been in the crowd for a Rob Van Dam, Jerry Lynn match.
A Rob Van Dam, Jerry Lynn match. I'm trying to think. I didn't get to see a lot of this WCW stuff. Like, I never saw the NWO live.
Okay.
Because they never came here. They went to Nassau Coliseum. But the Nassau Coliseum shows always sucked for WCW. I don't know why. So I didn't get to see a lot of those WCW angles, which would have been cool to be in that crowd for, you know, WCW in like 97.
Freebirds.
Never saw the Freebirds live.
I'm saying, like, I think because Bachelor 3000 said he would have loved to see Magnum TA.
Magnum, yeah. Like,
stuff that's impossible for us to see, I think.
That's a great question.
It would be like, it would have to be like Starcade, where like Ric Flair versus Harley Race.
Oh, like Dusty Rhodes. Yeah. That would be awesome. Yeah. It would have to be something like that. But I actually went to a ton of wrestling.
Yeah.
Ton of wrestling.
I never did.
Yeah, my dad was a big wrestling fan, so
awesome.
We would go to the Garden all the time.
Go to the matches.
We would go to the matches. Owen for Kayfabe Chronicle. Oh, I've seen Owen. When did I see? WrestleMania 10.
Very nice.
Yeah. So Owen, WrestleMania 10. All right, guys. That's it for this week. We'll be back. Rich will be remote. Remote or in studio?
Yet.
Whatever.
Either one.
Rich will be somewhere. Saturday for All Out. Join us. We'll start the stream at 6 p.m. or 6:30. 6 p.m. 6:30.
Something like that. We got to figure out when it starts, right?
I believe the pre-show's on at 7.
Mm-hmm.
There is the buy-in is at 7, but there's a 6:30 and a 6 o'clock pre-show. Somewhat. There's a countdown and. Let's say 6:30. We'll be live at 6:30.
The gazebo battle royal.
The gazebo. Gestapo battle royal.
Oh, no.
Wrong one. We'll be live at 6:30 on Saturday for the watch along. Join us. Grab a drink. Grab your dinner. And hang out with us for a couple hours while we watch this pay-per-view. It's always a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
you know, it's one of the most fun things, fun ways to watch wrestling is in a group of people just bullshitting, making jokes, and having a good time. So that's always a great thing to do. Guys, subscribe to us. We're everywhere podcasts are available. We've become one of the most favorited podcasts in the world right now, which is unbelievable to hear. Because of you guys. So subscribe to us. We're everywhere podcasts are available. iTunes, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, I should say, instead of iTunes. Google Podcasts, everywhere. And also here on YouTube, subscribe to us here on YouTube and our Patreon, patreon.com/MattMenPodcast. Also, there is a sale on Pro Wrestling Tees starting, I believe today. Is it today? Let's see. Pro Wrestling Tees, because it's Labor Day, the Labor Day sale. And I believe they're doing a big discount on all our merch. 20% off everything starting noon central today. So in about 30 minutes. You can go to prowrestlingtees.com/MattMenPodcast and buy a Matt Men shirt, guys.
Get those shirts,
man. Show us
your
support. Get a Matt Men shirt. Go in that crowd at the Thunderdome and show us some love.
Oh, my God. Imagine, like, I was texting this to Andrew the other day, and we had a question earlier in the chat saying, like, how and when is WWE going to crack down on the people doing weird shit on camera?
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm not putting the suggestion out there, but I kind of am, where I was texting with Andrew the other day. I was like, imagine if, like, there's just a shot of a dude who's laying on his belly and he's on his phone and he's watching, and then all of a sudden he just turns around and he's on the receiving end of like a happy ending.
Oh no.
He's at the massage place watching wrestling, and then just flips over.
Oh no. Oh, this is a good spot. Big chair spot. Misses it. Rob Van Dam. All right, guys, that's it for this week. We'll see y'all next time.
Later.
Take care. Mwah.